When did you come into the Yukon, Mr. Carbill?
In spring of 97.
In the spring of 97, eh?
Yes.
Where did you first hear about the strike? Where were you when you first heard about
it? Well, we didn't hear about the strike until we got to Dyea.
Oh.
We were going to Circle City, Circle Country, you
yeah.
see.
Oh, yeah.
Then we heard about this strike here, these women finding gold up a creek.
Sure.
A certain distance from town and so on.
Oh. And you walked up over the trail from Dyea, did you?
No.
How did you come in over the pass? Did you come over the Chilkoot?
The Dyea route at that time.
Oh, that's how you came in. Was that
yeah.
a pretty tough one, too?
Oh, it wasn't so bad.
Uh-huh.
I think it was 3 days I had it packed up on the hill, and then my brother and I, we loaded it on the sleighs, and we could pull it all
uh-huh.
along with us. We had a dog with us.
Oh, I
see. A big dog.
Yeah.
And so everybody got along very well.
There weren't too many of you then, were there, Mr. Corbeau? There weren't so awfully many of you, were there, in 97?
Oh, yes, there were quite a few.
Oh, there were, eh?
We were packing stuff up. The men would be about that far apart.
Oh, about 3 feet, eh?
And I believe it was a good mile, a mile and a quarter, that string was, that was going up that hill.
Even in 97, they were coming
yeah.
in then for Circle. Oh.
Oh, there was quite a few that knew it.
No.
The man I worked for, the streetcar company, he knew it all right. But he'd promised not to say anything.
Oh.
And so he come and looked me up 2 hours before the boat was to start. And he says, John, you come uptown with me.
Where was this? Was this in Tacoma?
In Tacoma.
Oh, yes.
And he says, I got $4,000. I have no use for it. He says, I want you to take it with you. So I laughed at him. I said, where I'm going, it's a circle. Never dreamed of a new place, you see.
Yeah.
And I says, it's all just day's wages, whatever you do. If you own the ground, you make about day's wages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On so many men.
Sure.
So, he says, oh, you better take it along. Why, I says, I couldn't choose it.
No.
Because I wouldn't choose it in such low-paying dirt.
No.
Because you can't have any idea about the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So and I says, be quite a sum of money to
yeah, to be carrying around.
Work out. Oh, if I did lose it, he says it wouldn't hurt me much.
Wow. So you came up on, were the boats crowded then up
and
the coast?
Yes.
They were,
and,
eh?
I forgot the boat anyhow. There was a boat couple of days ahead of us, Well, 80 men.
Oh, yeah.
And they unloaded them on the sandbar. And they lost quite a bit of stuff. There were 8 men going back to pick up what they lost out of the 80. And so they told us, don't let them put you off there. You might float off too.
Oh.
So we had a little trouble. They had a meeting and we elected a spokesman to go and talk to the captain. He come and hit me on the shoulder and says, will you go with me? I said, sure I will. I voted for you, and I said, I'm going to stay with you. So we went up there. And captain says, if you say a word, I'll put you in irons. So there was something the boys told us just as we was leaving. I says, tell them what the boys told us when we left. I'll put you in irons immediately.
Wow.
Well, I thought probably they would move. So I moved up close to them and away from the man I was, so I could put my hand on them anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stood that way, thinking. So I turned around and walked. You see, we were on the upper deck, and the people there, and I told them, I says, they told our spokesman, if he says a word, they'll put him in irons. And they told me, if I didn't keep my mouth shut, I'd go in irons right away.
Gosh, they were really tough, eh? Oh.
So well, I've seen quite a few rackets, but that whole bunch, over 100 people, you know, they got wild. And the language and the noise, that scared the captain and the mate.
This was before you docked at Dyea, wasn't it? Was this before you docked at Dyea, all this happened?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
And so we wanted to be docked, put on the island right there at Dyea. And that was, oh, about so much higher than the tide. Lots of times the tide would cover high tide. So the timber on that was so wet that we couldn't burn it.
No, I
guess. And no, we had to rustle that night and keep moving, to keep warm.
And then you started packing up over the trail.
Then finally they come together, and the second mate, he was the man that unloaded the boat. And the other two fellows, the mate and the captain, had nothing to say. So I got acquainted with him, and he was an awful nice feller. And I told him that we were going up. And so he says, well, he says, I unload the boat. I have nothing to say when I take charge.
Oh.
So we'll try and make it as the best we can. And so a lot of us promised to help the Indians to unload the boat. Just so the work could go on
sure.
a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working with him and a few others. The mate come down and told us, you fellas quit. These Indians will be able to finish it by 6 o'clock in the morning anyhow. And you fellas done enough.
Yeah.
So,
well, then you had to build a scow at Bennett, did
yes,
you?
Yes, then we had to go about 10, 12 miles till we got to the river that went down that way, you see. We had to get off the summit of the Dai summit.
Mm-hmm. What time of the year was this?
That was in the spring.
April, May?
About, I suppose it was April.
It was. Was there a lot of snow in there then, was there?
There was some snow. There mm-hmm. wasn't such an awful mm-hmm. lot.
Uh-huh.
But you can imagine so many of us, you know, we soon tramped
yeah.
the trail.
Uh-huh. Well, most of these men were miners. Were they real prospectors that came in that bunch?
Well, there was a lot of them that didn't know anything about mining.
Had you done any before?
No.
You hadn't?
Only iron mining.
Oh, I see. Oh. Well, then you were just about at breakup time when you got to Bennett then, was it? Was getting pretty close to breakup when you got to Bennett,
yes.
wasn't?
Ice was breaking up the open places
uh-huh.
in the ice
uh-huh.
when we got. So we had to be careful. We had a long hill, and it was kind of a crooked, and it was an awful narrow, and it was a hard to keep these sleighs on.
Oh, yeah.
So it didn't, and that was open right underneath, so we had to keep it, be careful. So I helped quite a few older men to get their sleighs down.
How old were you when you came in?
Well, I was 25 when I was up there.
Were you?
But I was 26 before I came to town.
Is that right, eh? Oh.
So.
Well, then you built a scow right there, did you? You and
yeah,
your brother?
Yeah, we whipsawed the lumber.
Uh-huh.
We had saws with us.
Yeah.
And everything that uh-huh. we didn't need to build a scow.
Did you all set out together? The whole bunch of you start out together from Bennett?
No, it after you got yourself fixed, you jumped in and started off.
Did any of them get fed up and turn back? Did any of them get hurt?
I didn't see any.
They all came through in that bunch,
yeah,
eh?
There might have been some accidents, mm-hmm. but I didn't see
oh.
any. Everything went fine.
Well, what kind of a trip did you have downriver then? What kind of a trip did you have downriver on your scow?
In the fall?
No, when you came in the spring.
Oh, we had a nice trip. We didn't have any trouble, except when we got to Lake LeBarge. We couldn't cross it because there were little round holes in the ice. And so we figured we could put the scow on 3 or 4 sleighs and come over, but we didn't dare to do it. There were too many little on hold.
What did you wait?
We had to wait about 17 days.
Did you? What did you have for food? What sort of grub did you carry with you?
Well, flour and bacon and beans.
Mm-hmm.
And sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Some little odds and ends, you know, that
yeah.
Need salt.
Did you get any game along the way? Did you do?
No, we didn't.
You just lived on what you had in your
We had three the new guns, that smokeless powder. It was the spring that smokeless powder came out.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw three caribou, and we stopped. Tied up a boat and went looking for them, but they were miles away.
Oh. Well, and there wasn't anything at Dawson then when you got here in the spring of 97, was there?
Well, we stopped over in Lowstown overnight.
Yeah.
And then the next morning we came down to what they called
Well, what was over at Lowstown then? Were there people over there at Lowstown then?
Yes.
Oh, what was over there then in 97?
It was this animosity between this and that, you know. They named it Lowstown.
Yeah. And there were quite a few people there then, eh?
Nice people.
Oh.
Good store. And
that was Harper's place, was it? Harper had the store there, did he? Or was it Ledoux's place?
It was,
Ledoux?
No, I don't think that was the name.
Oh. Well, then what was in Dawson then that spring? Was there much here?
We moved over this way, and we landed pretty well up that way.
Up the Klondike a little bit,
eh? On the Yukon, but we were pretty close to the Klondike.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, I better go and see how things looks before.
You knew about the strike then up Bonanza, did you?
Oh, yes.
You'd heard about it then, eh?
When we were at Dai.
Oh, I see.
We knew all about it.
Uh-huh.
And we'd seen the gold and two men that we talked with. So then I was wishing I had the 4,000.
Yes. Did you go up Bonanza then when you landed here?
Oh. Well, there was a note sent down here for all those fellas coming in lately to stay away, because they were having trouble to establishing wages. So, when we found out that wages were established, then we come.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be plenty of work to do.
The whole of Bonanza was staked when you got here then?
Oh, yeah.
Lippy
except
and
the lower end. There was about 2 miles that wasn't staked.
Down here near the mouth, eh?
Yeah. Best part of the creek.
Well, Lippy was there then, was he? And Fiscator and Lippy and all that bunch were already in there, were they? Barry?
Yes.
Oh.
So I forgot lots of the names of them old fellas.
So you didn't stake on Bonanza at all, eh?
No, I didn't. I went to work for a fellow by the name of John Heitman on number 7 above.
Yeah. That was good ground, eh?
Yeah. And so I didn't think of this any hurry. I thought the country was so vast.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other places just as liable to
sure.
have gold as that spot.
Yeah.
So I worked there till the fall, and he had four old timers there, you see. And I was on the windlass, and they worked underground. And they only could work 4 days, and then they were played out.
Yeah. Were they building fires all winter?
Wood fires, you see. And using a lot of this half-green wood for fires.
Oh, yeah.
The thaw.
And the smoke.
It made the water so strong with gas
yeah.
that and they didn't they had their little hole to catch the water, you see, so you could bail it. Mm-hmm. About every 4 buckets of dirt you'd have to bail a bucket of water.
And you were on the windlass pulling all this up, were you?
Yes. So that was easy, all right, them days for me.
Yeah.
So and they all played out. So John Heitman, he says to me, he says, "Now you can try it, John, if you want to." I says, "All right." I says, "I may change things a little." He says, "That's all right too," he says, "as long as the dirt comes out." So first thing, I dug the water hole half a length, about that big, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't right close to where we passed all the time. And when I got a chance again, I put it back a little further.
How deep down were they in the shaft?
That was about 22 feet.
Oh, geez.
That wasn't bad. Some places they were 100 feet to 90 okay. feet, 80
and
feet.
They have to crib it all the way up.
Yeah. Oh, some of them didn't crib all the way up.
They didn't, eh?
Oh. Some did. Just depends on how the dirt was.
Yeah, it was frozen or not.
Yes.
There must have been some bad accidents, though, were there? Cave-ins?
Oh, no. It long as you kept the heat out pretty well. You laid wood along where you wanted to thaw,
mm-hmm.
or a few sticks, you see, and shavings, and then you put the longer sticks about that long, edgeways this way, mm-hmm. over that, so that the dirt wouldn't cave on your fire and
mm-hmm.
put it out. And it carried the heat to the shaft, in that way we could work with wood fire in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you stayed there all that summer, did you? All the summer of 97 you worked for Heitman.
Yeah.
And did you go out again then?
No, then that's when I had put in my order for grub with the NAT company. Mm-hmm. And when I come there to get it, I got a sack of flour and a slab of bacon and a can of bacon powder for a winter's outfit, my money back.
That was the fall of 97, eh?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, we'd already got, I'd got a lay from the man I was working for next to where I was working. Pretty good ground. And so, and the boat was going most any time, you know, but it was a day or two before it got left.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just figured probably it's worthwhile going down and see that country.
Down a circle country?
Yeah.
Oh.
And if I don't see anything, it's all right. So we went down and I bought a roll of this cotton and we took it to a squaw and told her we wanted a 8x10 tent, 4-foot walls, and so on, and lots of sacks, little sacks, big sacks,
mm-hmm.
and big sacks enough to, I bought a couple of robes, a caribou robe and a sheep robe, and so we didn't suffer from cold all winter.
Mm-hmm.
We had good clothes. And
was it still pretty lively at Circle? Was it still pretty lively at Circle even in the fall of 97?
There was nothing in Circle to be had.
There was.
In the way of food.
There were still a lot of people there, were there?
Yes, they'd stopped the boat there, and each one had taken his outfit, but there was none for sale.
Oh.
They had to go to Fort Yukon. That was 95 miles further on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then when did you come back to Dawson then?
We got back here the 1st of March.
That was in 98?
Yeah.
Oh. Had it changed much then?
We stopped about 80 miles this side of Circle as the gulch comes down. And it had no name, and the Indians wanted to know my name, and I was going to call it. Well, I says, if you want a name for that gulch, call it Washington. I says, I'm from the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So they says, all right, we call him Washington.
Washington.
I think seven holes. My partner done the wood cutting and the cooking and.
And on this gulch, eh? Oh.
It was shallow ground, about 7-8 feet.
Oh.
You see, and I sank seven holes. And I showed him how to pan and so on, so I knew he'd get it if it was any gold in the ground,
mm-hmm.
to speak of. So, the day we were going away, I noticed he was kind of, didn't feel just right. There was something that was hurting him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'd come in and go out again, come in, go out again, never say anything. So at last I said, Charlie, what's the trouble? Oh, he said, you got too much gold. What the deuce, and he's done the panning. So I never had time to pan. Then they began to reach in his pocket, and he pulled out a little nugget, just like a kernel of wheat, but it was, 2 or 3 mm-hmm. kernels of wheat.
Right.
And so I pulled out my poke and put a little of that gold alongside of that one. I says, do you see any difference in them two golds? He says, a blind man can see that isn't your gold. Your gold is entirely different. And he began to feel better.
Oh.
He thought I was jobbing him. Putting, you know, I had a little made out of peas can. I put a handle on and bailed in a apple can. That was a gallon, I think.
Oh,
and then I would throw it out, and it was in this little can, and it was in the sixth hole that I told him, I said, this is just as nice a ground as I worked in all summer. So we'd left quite a bit of our grub in some trees, high up in some trees, the first day out from the creek, Yukon.
Mm-hmm.
And because we made up our mind we'd pull 2 days and then we'd stop and think.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a nice place, if there'd been anything there to speak of. Well, anyhow, we pulled out and went home, and we went, and when we got down quite a ways, pretty near halfway, we figured, because it snowed about that much while we were prospecting up in that creek. So it was, all our trail was gone and nothing to show where we left our logs, grub, except the curves of the creek.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, I believe this is where we left our grub, John. Well, it might be, I said, we'll go and see. And but there were no cut off trees or anything, so there was 2 trees. I cut them off as high as I could cut them, and made a scaffold up in the trees, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So to put our grub, and so I says, this isn't the place. But I said, certainly it looks like it. The bend of the creek and a bunch of trees. And I said, so ours is a little further down, all right. Well, about 2 miles further down, we came to our place, and we were sticking. And we both would never have left our grub again. We'd seen the predicament. Somebody could have come and taken that, walked away with it. And
well, then you went outside, did you, again? Did you go out to Tacoma then, that fall?
Yes, I was here 3 years before I went out.
Oh. Well, you were here, you knew Jack London quite well, didn't you? Was it Jack London that you knew, the writer? Seems to me someone told me once that you knew Jack London quite well when he was in here.
That might be, but I don't know him by name.
Oh. Well, then you went out and started bringing these potatoes, didn't you? When did you start doing that?
I guess I'd been here 5 or 6 years before I brought in the potatoes.
You went right outside and got
them.
12 tons, was it?
I went to California and looked around. And when I came back, I went out purposely to get a sawmill, one of these small sawmills. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't think of it. Mm-hmm. And when I got to Dyea again, coming this way, they'd cleaned up everything. So there wasn't a thing in the yard for this part of the country. There were lots of room. Mm-hmm. But we brought in some stuff, all right.
About 12 tons of potatoes, was it? You tell me yesterday.
That was later. I'd been here about 6-7 years.
Oh, I see.
Then I went out again.
Well, they were probably worth quite a bit to sell in here, were they? What were potatoes worth then when you got them in here?
Well,
did you sell them right down here on the riverbank?
No, I put them in the Well, I was half interested in the scow before, too, but that fellow sold the potatoes before he got to Dawson. Yes, before he got to Dawson. And they didn't, these merchants and commission men outside didn't want good potatoes to come in here, because they've been so used to picking over the potatoes that were sent in here, you see, and were pretty much culls.
Oh, yeah.
And like Cayley, he buys that stuff whether he knows it or not. But them commission men in these towns, they are picking potatoes for these high-toned hotels. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to pick mine. I told them, no. I said, I wouldn't pay the freight on the stuff that's left. The boys is going to get potatoes when I bring them in.
What was Dawson like, Mr. Corbo? What was it like?
It was a pretty quiet place. It wasn't rowdy or tough.
Front Street was just filled with with lots of hotels and saloons, were there, and theaters on Front Street?
Well, I've only been drunk once since I've been in the country.
And it happened on Front Street?
That's one time when I brought in the scow. The scow stopped when the ice stopped,
mm-hmm.
right in front of the Fairview Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And I was standing by the rope. I had it nailed onto the scow so that you couldn't get it off. So that if anything happened, ice between me and the bank, you know, was so that all I had to do is throw that rope out. And 100 men get a hold of it, why, a snake is
sure.
Right up out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in just a few minutes, 10 minutes, the ice was thick enough so you could walk off.
You came right down with freeze-up, didn't
yeah.
you? Wow. And what about some of these people around here? Did you ever remember seeing the Swiftwater, Bill Gates, or any of these characters?
Yes, I see him and knew him in a way, you know.
Mm-hmm. Was Carmack's around for very long after he made the discovery? Carmack's, was he around here for very long? The fellow that found the gold up here. Was he around town very much?
Well, I don't know if I ever got acquainted with him.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I have. But I couldn't say anything one way or the other about him.
Well, then... that Kate Maxwell, did you know her?
The dance hall girl?
Yeah.
No, I do not. I probably have...
You've seen them, eh?
When I had mm-hmm. few beers, I'd once in a while go in and have
yeah.
a waltz. Or,
Some of those places were very nice, were they? Some of those places were very nice. Were they nicely fixed
oh,
up?
Oh, yes. They mm-hmm. were a nice place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, the mounted police, they kept things pretty straight. So
sure.
that, I tell you, very little went on.
Mm-hmm. When did Mrs. Corbeau come in? When did Mrs. Corbeau come in?
That same fall that the scow stopped froze.
Did you bring her in from outside, or was she already here?
She was already here.
Was she? Oh.
Thompson, his wife and my wife later on. They came together.
Oh.
Thompson used to work in hotels and stores.
So your wife came in here in the early days too then?
Yes.
Oh.
So she came. So... when I hit the street, I saw part of a sawmill and found out who owned it, and I bought it. And I found out who owned the other part of it. And next morning, I bought it. So that's why, so we saw lumber that winter. Took orders.
Did
you? You see. And you didn't have to pay stumpage when you take orders and solve for the miners just what they want and need.
Mm-hmm. Well, when was that, around 1900 then, when all this building was going on?
Well, I wasn't in town very much. Only that winter, the sawmill. I got pneumonia and had to stay up on Bonanza for 10 days or so. Mm-hmm.
Well, then Grand Forks was quite a good-sized town, too,
oh,
wasn't it?
Oh, yes, you betcha.
Well, what about that place called Paris? What was there?
Over on Dominion.
Uh-huh. Was there very much there?
That was quite a lively place, too.
Was that right? Roadhouse?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then Hunker Summit, that was another big place, wasn't it? Hunker, up on the hill? The big roadhouse up there. Right at the top of the hill.
Oh, yes.
There used to be a farm up there.
The grocery store, you see.
Was there? Up there, eh?
Oh.
Well, you knew the Barringtons quite well then, did you? The Barringtons? The steamboat people?
Yes, I... knew them, but I wasn't around the town.
No, you were out in the creeks for me.
Much.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they
would
come
alley.
In and stay a day and then
out
again.
Where were you most of the time? On El Dorado?
Gold Hill and
Bonanza.
Mm-hmm. But that 97. I prospected quite a bit, but there was 11 of us together in teams 2 and 3,
mm-hmm.
and but we had no luck. But I'd bought a half interest with another fella. Of a fella that had to go outside on Gold Hill. And so I quit prospecting, and I says, why don't you try your own strip and see? Well, the first I couldn't get more than 50 cents, and that wasn't enough them days. So I went a little higher on the hill, where it was 40 feet deep. And there I rocked 10 buckets and got 82 or 83 dollars. So that went a little better than $10 a bucket. So that looked pretty good then.
Mm-hmm. Well, was your family raised out on the creeks too, Mr. Corbel? Was Millie born out there?
Yes, in Bear Creek.
Oh, yeah.
I must have worked about 40 years for the...
the company?
Yes, I started to work... up at North Fork when they were building that dam.
Oh, the big flume, eh?
Yeah.
Did you?
And I was digging the ditch, you know, for the pipe going down the hill.
There were a lot of men in that job, weren't there?
Oh,
and horses.
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake.
That's quite a job.
Yeah. I'll let you hear this.